Brethren, the title, if you like, the title is what's the title? Sanctification in the light of justification. That's sanctification in the light of justification. Okay, so briefly, let's give some understanding of just sanctification. Sanctification, you see various people saying what sanctification is, holiness. Is to be separate, to be set aside, to sanctify, to set aside unto God, to be holy, or also to make holy. We see those various definitions. But I'll define sanctification in this form. Sanctification is living fully in the covenant of promise. So what God has promised you, what God has promised the church, it brings you into it. Okay, you are living fully in the covenant of promise. You are a perfect man. You are a perfect man. You are in a realm where you cannot sin. You cannot sin. Sin cannot rule over you. Romans 6:14 tells us that sin cannot rule over you. John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 says, okay, sin cannot have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Okay, John 5:18 says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. So we see a person living in the covenant of promise. So what's the covenant of promise? It's a person in the garden, in the presence of God, free from the effect of the curse, free from the effect of the fall. It's free from the fall and its effect. It's free from the curse and its effect. Is also free from the influence of the vagabond spirit. Vagabond spirit, this wicked spirit that wants to hinder you from fulfilling God's purpose. We see Satan coming to Jesus Christ after 40 days. I want to derail the ministry of Christ. He said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. So vagabond spirit. So we see sanctification is living fully in the covenant of promise. Sin is not a possibility. So sin cannot happen. The person cannot sin. He's a perfect man. He's not immortal. We're not talking about immortality. We're talking about a perfect man. So living in the good of the covenant. So we see those are some definition of sanctification. So I can add to that. So we see the person we are referring to, the person is not naked. The person we are referring to, the person is not afraid. It's not afraid. The person we are referring to is a person that is not plagued by thorns and thistles. Whatsoever you lay your hand, it prospers. 100%. If you are doing education, you are in education, you do any of those courses, you get 100. You are living fully. The Bible says in that realm, it said, you are better than your teachers. That's the realm we are talking about. It is a realm of sanctification. So in the realm of sanctification, it starts, there's a beginning, and there is what? The end. The end of sanctification is that you are fully in the covenant of promise. Okay. But there's various stages in sanctification. There's various stages. He said the first stage starts when you are born again. You are born again. That's when the first stage starts. Christ is made unto us wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Christ is made unto us wisdom. Christ is made unto us wisdom. and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So when anybody is born again, these four things happen to that person. But it's just the beginning of the process. We see that in Abraham, we see that in Adam. It's the beginning of the process. But as we yield ourselves to God, we see the excellency and the beauty of the four dimensions of God's life made manifest into us, of wisdom, of understand, of power, of the knowledge and of what, of justice. We see it in walked into a man. That's in Isaiah chapter 11. We see it in walked into a man, walked into his nature, walked into his character. But at the beginning, the person is just delivered out of the gutter condition, delivered out of the pit. It delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. So Christ starts walking into that individual to bring into that individual his character and his nature. So we see that sanctification is outflow. The outflow of sanctification is from justification. A man that is not justified cannot enter into sanctification. A man that is not justified cannot just suddenly be holy. A man that is not justified cannot suddenly be free from a difficulty in conception, cannot just suddenly be free from the fear. Justification is the foundation. It's from there all aspect of sanctification flows out. Now that I've mentioned that, so you should ask yourself, are you having difficulty? How can I be holy? That's the question you ask. How can I be holy? How can I remain holy? How can I remain faithful unto God to live right, to be at peace with my brethren, at peace with the world, to live soberly, to live in the beauty of the covenant, to live without sickness, without maladies. How do I maintain life? That's sanctification. How do I make sure there's no spot in my life? There's no disease, there's no maladies, there's no sickness. How do I, that I have mental faculties that are sound? Oh, all these questions are questions that relate to the fall or the effect of the fall. How can I know freedom from it? And how can I live in an experience where I do not enter back into it? That's a sound mind, mentally sound, emotionally sound, bodily sound. Your environment is sound. The things that surrounds you is sound. The business is your cattle, your investment is sound. Anything you lay your hands upon is sound, is holy, is pure, and it yields fruit unto God. So sanctification in the light of justification, every moment you are looking at your life, you are examining your life, you are watching your life. What are the things that I need to enter fully into sanctification, totally and completely? So those are questions we're trying to ask ourselves, and God gives us all the answers. All the answers flow from what justification. It flows from justification. It flows from the fact that it is Him that died. It is Christ that died. It is Christ that died. So all those conditions we've listed and others that we have not listed, all those things are dealt with in the realm of justification. So any in our walk with God, as we move into the fullness of life, we still go back to the justified experience. And all the beauties that God has revealed to us in the justified experience is needed in our maturity, in our fullness of life. So you find yourself, you see, you want to do right. Romans chapter 7. You want to do right. You want to do things that are true. You want life to flow out of you. You want to be a living sacrifice unto God. You want to be well pleasing before Him. So those are questions you want to be. and you find difficulty in it. You find yourself making mistakes. The sin of omission, the sin of commission. You see, not that you want to do it, but those tendencies are there. Romans says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Romans chapter 7, verse 25. "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" It's a hindrance. Who was speaking? It was the guy that wrote the book of Romans. Let's say it's Paul, although there's a lot of controversy. Who wrote Romans? So the writer of the Romans, Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." This guy was born again, was saved. But he didn't come into this realm. He didn't come into this estate. He cried. You may be asking yourself, why am I always making mistakes? Why is there a tendency to click and go to that channel? Why is it tendency to be moved into this other realm? Why am I drawn to friends that are not pleasing to God? Those tendencies. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this? Deliver me from the body of this death." Then verse 25. He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. "So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God." This law is not the Ten Commandments. This law is the law of sin and death. It refers to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's the law of sin and death, and there's the law of the law of life. The law of sin and death, and the law of life. Verse 2, please. Romans 8, verse 2. So we see it there. It said, "The law of the spirit of life." Then there's the law of sin and death. So let's go to Romans chapter 7, verse 25 again. Romans chapter 7, verse 25. So we see, so "I serve with my mind, I serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin." So there is the power to live holy is made available to you. It's made available to me. I thank God through Jesus Christ. So who delivered him from the body of death? Who delivered him from wretchedness? The Lord Jesus did, as we see in verse 25. So we see that sanctification is key. So sanctification, let me give more definition of sanctification. Sanctification take you from being a mere human being to being a heavenly being. It is a transition. And God has given us a lot of things. We can see it in Genesis chapter 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. God gave a lot of things in those parables that he gave Abraham, of things that is needed for me and you or the church to come into the realm of a sound mind, a perfect man, a place where you do not have any spots, you do not have any wrinkle, a state of glory unto God. So let's quickly look at some scriptures just to help our mind. These tools that God has made available, you need it, is the tools of battle. The tools of battle, things to deal with what? The fall and its effect. Things to deal with the curse and its effect. And things to deal with any encroaching vagabonds, any encroaching the powers of darkness, any encroaching mistress of witchcraft. Tools God has made available for you. It is in the realm of what? Of sanctification that you see these tools fully available, fully active, fully alive. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. But the one I need is 17, but we'll just read around it. John chapter 7, verse 17. So take notice of these tools. You need it every day. You need it every day. So in John chapter 17, verse 17, it says, sanctify them. How do you become holy? How do you become holy without blame? It is through the truth. It is through the word of God. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. In John chapter 17, Jesus Christ was having a conversation with his father. So he was praying for the church. He was groaning, was traveling for the church. And he mentioned this. So it was a time of great travail. He groaned and groaned and groaned and groaned and groaned. So here he mentioned some key word. How do you become holy? Sanctify, sanctification. How do you become holy? How do, all the blessings that is available in the covenant, how do you enter into it? How do your home enter into it? How do you enter it and live in the light of the covenant? How do you deal with condition of sickness in your life? It is through what? Through the truth. The truth is vital. Jesus Christ, previously before this, he said, I am the way. That's in chapter 14. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So here, Jesus Christ will say, sanctify them. Make them holy. Bring them to this estate of holiness. Who was he referring to? He was referring to the church. They were already born again. They were already saved. God told Abraham, said, walk thou before me. I'm the Almighty God. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. So there's already a relationship. This people is referring to me and you. We already have a relationship with God. But God knows that this we are not sanctified. We are not holy. We are not a perfect man. We are still subject to mistakes. So he said, how do we come to this estate of our relationship with individuals, of our relationship with ourselves? How do we come to being holy? We're moving anywhere, there's holiness flowing out of us. There's virtue. Virtue flowing out of us. It is through what? The truth. It is through the word of God. Sanctify them. Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. In verse 18, as thou hast sent me unto the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. I set myself apart. So that's why we say sanctification is also a set apart. You are totally given unto God. Yeah, say for their sake I sanctify myself. Jesus Christ said, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. So the word of God set us apart. He set us apart unto him alone, unto him, totally given unto him. So here we picked up the word of God. Okay, let's quickly go to Acts chapter 26, verse 18. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, it said, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin. Let's read from verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? It was Brother Paul was talking about the experience he had. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, and I will appear unto thee for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from
the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes. So God wanted Paul to be an instrument to open the Gentiles' eyes, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. That's a born-again experience. That they might receive the forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in him. Hallelujah. 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 How do you gain entrance into the nature of God? He says, by sanctification and inheritance among them that are sanctified. He said, what is our inheritance? Psalm 16 tells us that our inheritance is God. God is our inheritance. We inherit God. Our inheritance is not Lamborghini. It's not one piece of physical land. Our inheritance is God, is the nature of God, is the character of God. So we see there's the inheritance. For every born-again person, there's an inheritance, there's a reward. When the woman is, I'm referring to Matthew chapter 24, when he's finally married to the bridegroom, we see that when he's married to the groom, we see that's his inheritance. But there's also the reward. Okay, so there's inheritance and there's reward. There's inheritance, there's reward. So our inheritance is God himself, is the nature of God, is the character of God. But inheritance is received in the realm of sanctification. It is a realm of sanctification, in the place of living holy, living pure, setting yourself apart unto God. And it is in that environment that God in work his nature unto you. He's in work his character unto you. It is in the realm of sanctification that God speaks to you and unveil his mind unto you, unveil his character unto you, unveil his nature unto you. It is in the realm of sanctification and inheritance among them that are sanctified. But how do you receive it? How do I receive it? It is by faith. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. It is as we believe in this provision. How do I know deliverance from the curse and its effect? How do I know deliverance from the fall and its effect? As I lay hold upon the provision he has made available for me. There's a provision. The provision is Christ Jesus. As I look to him by faith, by faith, by faith, as I say, I believe in him. As my heart yearns towards it, as we have learned before, it is, as with the heart man believe, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As we lay hold upon him by faith, the inheritance is given to us, the treasures, the peace, the joy, the comfort is given unto us. The pain and sorrow is gone. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. We are sanctified by faith. Faith comes from the word. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is God's word coming to you. By God's word, by God's provision, as it comes to me, as it comes to you, in that environment of sanctification, the inheritance is given to us. You gain more of God. You gain more of the treasure of God, of wisdom, of power. Power to live holy. Power to say no to that your friend that is wayward. Power to say no to that thing that is moving around in your phone. Power to shut down that website. The power to live holy. An inheritance among them. Not just you, not just me. Many people among them that are sanctified. So there is a provision made available for us. We must believe in God by faith. So let's read some long verse and quickly just garner some truths. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we start from 9 to 11.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? So you can put it in another way. Know ye not that the righteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? So the unrighteous cannot. That means the righteous can. So any person that the person that is not born again cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No, there's no other way of doing it. A person must be born again, must be saved. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That means the righteous can. Anyone that is righteous inherit the kingdom of God. Then he now gives us definitions of those that are unrighteous. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Effeminate is a male prostitute. Somebody having a relationship with same sex. Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves. Little thief here. Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And such were some of you. So he said, in the old, we were like that. He said, but something happened to us, that ye are washed. So look at this. You are washed. There's a washing that has taken place. You are washed. So all the debt has been taken. But he said, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of your God. Verse 12. Okay, let's stop at 11. So we see that there is a walk. We have access to this life of holiness. We can get into it. All the work that God does is perfect. The perfect work is a total work. It's a complete work. We are justified. We are sanctified. We have been washed. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. So there is some class of people that belong to Christ. He said, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. That means the tendency, which we could stay long here, but it's also in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 7, chapter 8. It said, oh, wretched man that I am. Then he said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus deals with the flesh. Anyhow, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. So the flesh has been crucified. What does that mean? It means the flesh has died. It means he has died. So crucified means he has died. So there can be no pull. As we discussed earlier today, our brother was talking about somebody, as if somebody dies, he cannot worship God. When it dies, it dies. So here, if the flesh is crucified, is dead, that means it cannot operate. Flesh has been dealt with. So we that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. That means there's no pull. There's no something pulling you to do sin. Sin cannot have dominion over you. So we see in the sanctified experience, God give you a platter, as it were, of gold for you to you are free from the past, and it gives you an environment to receive the things that is necessary for you to enter into his nature, his character, his lifestyle. Amen. Amen. So we see the relationship with Christ is vital. It is key to moving forward. It's not a place of stagnancy. It's a place of fruitfulness. In another sense, God told Abraham, he said, cast out this woman, cast out Hagar, and his children, cast it out.
It is in that environment where of sanctification. It has to go. The old nature, the old character that leads to bondage. Hagar was from Egypt. Egypt means the house of bondage. And that character, that nature must be dealt with. It is in the environment of sanctification. And that crucify the lust and its affection and its desires, its lust. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water or by the word. How do I come to this place of sanctification? How do I come to the place of holiness? All those effects of the fall, because completely gone. Totally gone. All aspects of it gone. It is what? By his word. Remember, we said earlier that the believer is set apart or is made holy by the truth. Then we also read the fact that there's the washing. There's a washing in Ephesians. The washing and the sanctifying and justified by his name. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Yeah, he's saying sanctify and cleanse with the washing of the water by the word. The word of God, it is a treasure. You must appreciate it. You must eat it. You must dine with it. It must be the goal. How do you deal with any pain, any condition that you see that's a failing right now? It is going to the word of God. The word of God, the truth of God. Say, God, this is your provision. This is your standard. This is what I see. Lord, I receive your word for this condition. Let this condition not be found in me. Let this condition, these tendencies be not found in me. Let it be dealt with. You said in your word that you have crucified. You have put to death this flesh, this affections, this lust, this desire. God, I receive your word. This wretched man that I am, how do I know deliverance? Why is there a pull towards this wickedness? It is, he said, thank be the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the word of God. It is the him himself. He come to deal with it. He come to crucify the flesh. So you must go to the cross if you want to know crucifixion. If you want to know deliverance, you must go to the cross. It is at the cross. It deals with the flesh, the passions. Flesh is, a simple definition of flesh is the marriage of the body to the soul. Five senses. What you see, what you hear, what you feel, all those five senses that controls your conscience, that controls your the thing you want to take a decision, you look to the flesh. Uh-huh. It's like the law of the spirit of life. A person that is in the law of the spirit of life cannot fulfill the law of the flesh, but the law of sin and death. Two different law in operation. Okay. Sanctify and cleanse by the washing of the water of the word. So the word is critical. The word of God, but our heart must be captured, apprehended. It is something we must know. It's something we must do regularly. 1 Peter chapter 1, 21. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Okay, we have emphasized the word of God, but let me just emphasize some two other things. Elected according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. So the activity of the Holy Spirit is also vital. We are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. There's an inwalking. There's a writing. There's an engraving. There's a process, the working of the Holy Spirit in our life through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So there is a sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus comes to deal with some conditions. Are you in pain? Are you in stresses? Are you drawn left and right by conditions that you see is either the fall or the effect of the fall, or it's just not any of those that it's just vagabond spirit. It's powers of darkness want to embarrass you and your home, or embarrass your life, embarrass you in school. Is it any of those things? Does it fall in any of those classes? The blood of Jesus is available to deal with those conditions. The blood of Jesus Christ is available to deal with any of those conditions. And what? And the Holy Spirit, the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. You can live holy. I can live holy. I can come to this excellence of a perfect man by yielding ourselves to the tools that he has given to us. The Holy Spirit said, don't touch that website. Obey, respond. Don't be disobedient. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. He said, take your phone and call that brother and share these scriptures with him. Say, no, I'm too busy. The sanctification of the Holy Spirit. God wants the treasures in you to flow out. You just quench us. I'm too busy. I can't. This vision, I'm just growing up. I don't know it that much. I want to share. You quench the Holy Spirit. The sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. And peace be multiplied unto you. So I will round up with some scriptures. I wish we had more time to deal with more of these things. But these scriptures will help us because we have sung it. We have worshipped God with it earlier today. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. God is saying in the sphere of the earth, in the sphere of the earth, the means of your transformation is through the water, the blood, and the Holy Spirit. God has ordained it that it is these three things that bear witness upon the earth. When we are born again, the water and the blood is what we see on the cross when Christ died. He said they took the spear and instead of breaking his bones, they pierced his side, and out of his side flowed out water and blood. The things that we need, we have looked at various scriptures by the washing of the water. How do I sanctify them? Sanctify them with the truth. My word is truth. We need the word of God. This provision, the water that flowed from his side, this is he that came by blood, by water. Let me go from verse 5. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. How do you overcome the world? How do you overcome these circumstances? How do you overcome this situation? He that believeth. You believe it in this provision that is going to say in verse 6. 6. You believe. You trust in it. You lay hold on the word of God. You lay hold on this. On the working of the Holy Spirit. You lay hold upon it. It is a means of your transformation. Yeah, you are born again, but there's still some tendencies that came because of your fall, that came because of sin. Those things can be dealt with. It is a provision. How do you overcome the world? How do you overcome he that believeth in Jesus, the Son of God? From Jesus Christ, you see the water flowing out. From Jesus Christ, you see the blood flowing out. From Jesus Christ, you see the working of the Holy Spirit. He said, you cannot enter into this provision except I go to the Father. If I go to the Father, there will be another comforter. You see the activity of the Holy Spirit to bring you into life, into holiness. This is he that came by water and blood. Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 8. verse 8. And these are three that bear witness in the earth. The one that bear witness on the earth is these three things. Satan does not bear witness on the earth. All his weakness, all the weakness from the powers of darkness, from this, the threefold manifestation of the powers of darkness at the time of the end, the dragon, the beast out of the earth, the beast out of the sea, all their weakness are lies. There's nothing that comes from that realm that speaks of truth. Because he said Satan is the father of lies. So there's three things that bear witness in the earth. All the weakness, whether it's from doctors, the weakness is a lie. The weakness from the government is a lie. All other weakness are lies. These are three that bear witness in the earth. The spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. It is the means of your transformation. The power of the Holy Spirit to break all resistance, to break all opposition. To break all limitation. It is the power of the Holy Spirit in the medium of the word, in the medium of the blood of Jesus. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Our daughter read this and it's very significant. Before I started preaching, the teaching has been already shared. So I'm just emphasizing. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne. Remember, before they saw it, there was nobody that could open the book. The means of your transformation was locked up. Nobody. Nobody in the heavens. Nobody in the earth. Nobody beneath the earth. Nobody. Or being, or individual. No person. No mighty angels. No mighty apostles. No individual. No mighty preacher. No wicked spirit. No demons. No mighty angel, nothing. So I bear in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it were, as it has been slain. Not just a lamb, but a lamb slain. And out of that lamb flowed out what? The water and the blood. Having seven horns and seven eyes. Which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. So the lamb has what? Seven horns. And what? Seven eyes. Horns. And seven eyes. It is Christ. Even you see, all that you need, brethren, all that I need, all the baggages we have carried before, He can deal with it, but we have to look to him. We have to look to him. Not to the earth. Look unto him for your redemption right now. So there is the seven horns and there's the seven eyes. First Corinthians chapter 1, 24. And unto them which are called, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. The horns are power. He said seven horns. Christ is the power of God. And what? Christ is the wisdom of God. The eyes, he had seven eyes and he had seven horns. So we see that scripture we read in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, we see it here. Christ is the power of God. All the resources that you need, all the resources I need to come into the estate of life he has ordained for us is available in Christ. It's the power of God to deal with any condition in the medium of his word, in the medium of the blood of the Lamb. He will deal with those conditions. He will deal with those circumstances. All it takes for us to look to him. When we were born again, it is the same foundation. You believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved. It is the same provision. But this time, we have to what? Feast on the word of God. Feast on the provision. feast on the water of life. We see it in Psalm 1. We see it in Revelation chapter 21. We see it in Genesis, the river of the water of life. We see it in Revelation chapter 22. The water clear as crystals. We see it, all this provision. We will not feast on the word. Take time out, brethren. Study God's word. Feast on it. Feast on, keep on feasting. Keep on feasting. The water from his side, the water of his front, the water that sanctifies. Keep on feasting. Take time. You are on the street, you are walking, you are feast on God's word. Eat of him, drink of him, and keep on appropriating the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not just a mere blood. When you appropriate his blood, you sprinkle his blood, you are talking about the life of Jesus. This condition cannot be. You insist, this condition cannot be. It cannot. It is not in the provision of God. Then you lay hold on the blood of Jesus Christ and appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ, the very life. It is, as you sprinkle the blood, God will look unto you and say, this is that which bear witness upon the earth. There's three things that testify upon the earth. No other things. No other things. It is the word of God, it is the spirit of God, and the blood of Jesus Christ. As you appropriate the blood upon your life, it will testify to God that God will respond. There will be a response. They bear witness. They testify. They speak. In other scripture, it says the blood of Jesus Christ speak better things than the blood of Abel. To testify means it speaks. The word of God speaks for you. He said it shall not return to God void. It speaks. There's a voice in the word of God. There's a voice in the blood of Jesus Christ. It speaks of life. It speaks of the nature and the character of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit speaks. But it is in the medium of God's word. It's the medium of God. The lamp in your midst. The lamp in my midst. The lamp in me. Because Christ dwells in me. Christ dwells in you. Is the power of God. Is the wisdom of God. Christ is the one that has eyes, is full of eyes, having seven horns and seven eyes, is available to deal with any condition. He has taken the book. No condition. In the final analysis, you will see that he did, after dealing with any condition in your life, in the church, it deals with condition outside, the powers of darkness. They are cast into the lake of fire. There's nothing that can hinder his purpose. There's nothing in the heavens, in the earth, nothing. He has ordained it. He said, he's like one that stand at the beginning and say, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Say those things that be not as they do are, testifying. So we see that God's word, God has ordained, will stand in our present position and testify that God's word, God's will, God's purpose shall stand. The blood testifies, it speaks. So appropriate the blood. What condition is it? Is it the condition of wicked? Let me go to, sometimes we just mention scriptures. Let's go to Nahum. Nahum scripture have been with me for weeks now. Nahum chapter 3. Nahum chapter 3, verse 1. Nahum chapter 3, verse 1. I'll just read and I'll just emphasize some two phrases. He said, woe to the bloody city. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery, and the prey depart not. Brother, you have to say the prey must depart. Let me give you we are all born again, we are all saved. And if somebody's not born again, hearing me, you need to be born again. You need to know the justified experience. And said, Lord, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Just said, Lord, come into my heart. And you see, it changes. Like Jesus, come into my heart. So he said, the place, this city is full of lies. And the Bible says Satan is the father of lies. So you know this city belongs to Satan. And another scripture here, phrase, robbery.
Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So we know this city belongs to Satan. So God is executing judgment. He said, woe to this bloody city. It is full of lies and robbery. And Satan doesn't want the prey to depart. You have to insist. Satan does not bear witness upon the earth. There's three things that bear witness upon the earth. The mighty Holy Spirit and the word of God and what the blood of Jesus, they bear witness upon the earth. All other testimony is false and they cannot hold water. They cannot stand. So he said, woe to this bloody city that is full of lies and robbery. And the prey departed not. Verse 2, we are reading fast. Verse 2, the noise of a whip, the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariots. Verse 3, the horsemen lifted up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses. And there's none end of their corpses. So just imagine, you're looking at a field of battle. You see corpses. They stumble and upon their corpses. Verse 4. Because of the multitude of the wardens. Why are they corpses? Why are they dead? Because of the multitude of the wardens of the well-favored harlot. The city and the harlot is the same. The well-favored harlot is a harlot system, is a harlot condition, is a harlot situation. He said, because why are they dying? Because of the multitude of the wardens of the well-favored harlot. How does it define this harlot? The mistress of witchcraft. What does it do? It select nations. Whole nations. They just sell nations. Before you know it, there's war, destruction, fightings. It select nations. Through what? Through her wardoms. And what? And families. Through her witchcraft. So witchcraft, operating in families, operating in homes, operating in institutions. So that's the picture I paint. I just want to paint. So what are we saying? We say, there shall be no witchcraft in my home. You insist on the blood of Jesus Christ. You insist on the working of the Holy Spirit. You insist on the word of God. Say, this condition, this situation shall not operate in my home. It shall not operate in my environment. It shall not operate in my life. Any witchcraft. You know what Bible says? It's a disobedient. It's like witchcraft. Any tendency to be rebellious and sin. You deal with it. And it's a testimony. When you start praying like that, the angels of God start coming in. They start coming. You are testifying. You are testifying. The whole resources of heaven. He said, the weapons of our warfare are mighty to God. All the resources of heaven will come down because they have heard the testimony. What testimony have they heard? They have heard the word of God. They have heard the Holy Spirit. They have heard what? The blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the seven eyes, the seven horns. They've seen it all around you. It's mighty. All the mighty angels will come to respond to your call, to respond to your prayers. We can live holy. We can live righteously. But the principles are clearly stated. Say, lay hold on this provision. Lay hold on that which you want to gain entrances into the inheritance of God. It's an inheritance of God is made available to you by faith. As to lay hold on that which he has said. And you see the transformation. You see the victories. It is him that comes to do it. But you are in that environment that he has ordained. May the Lord greatly bless us. May the Lord grant us further understanding. May the Lord cause our hands to be engaged. Engaged. You know, may God cause us to continue to respond to his word of God. To respond to his will. to have entrances into inheritance, into his inheritance, into that inheritance he has made available for us. Inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in his name. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord grant us further understanding.